Welcome to Once Upon a Storytime, the family-friendly storytelling podcast from Adventures Underground's Children's Department. My name is Kiri, and I'll be guiding you on this adventure. Stories have fascinated humanity for as long as we've been sharing them. In the spirit of Adventures Underground, we'll be taking this podcast off the beaten path and exploring some lesser-known tales, and all you listeners out there are along for the ride. Today, we'll be reading Hop o' My Thumb. This story will be shared as told by Dinah Maria Mullock Crake in The Fairy Book, which was copyright by Harper & Brothers in New York and London in 1922. And now, Once Upon a Story Time with Hop o' My Thumb. There once lived in a village a woodcutter and his wife, who had 7 children, all boys. The eldest was no more than 10 years old, and the youngest was only 7. It was odd enough, to be sure, that they had so many children in such a short time, but the truth is, the wife always brought him 2 and once 3 at a time. This made him very poor, for not one of these boys was old enough to get a living, and what was still worse, the youngest was a puny little fellow who hardly ever spoke a word. Now this, indeed, was actually a mark of his good sense, but it made his father and mother suppose him to be silly, and they thought that at last he would turn out quite a fool. This boy was the least size ever seen, for when he was born he was no bigger than a man's thumb, which made him be christened by the name of Hop o' My Thumb. The poor child was the drudge of the whole house and always bore the blame of everything that was done wrong. For all this, Hop o' My Thumb was far more clever than any of his brothers, and though he spoke but little, he heard and knew more than people thought. It happened just at this time that for want of rain, the fields had grown but half as much corn and potatoes as they used to grow, so that the woodcutter and his wife could not give the boys the food they had before, which was always either bread or potatoes. After the father and mother had grieved for some time, they thought as they could contrive no other way to live, they must somehow get rid of their children. One night, when the boys were gone to bed and the woodcutter and his wife were sitting over a few lighted sticks to warm themselves, the husband sighed deeply and said,
"You see, my dear, we cannot maintain our children any longer, and to see them die of hunger before my eyes is what I could never bear. I will, therefore, tomorrow morning, take them to the forest, leave them in the thickest part of it, so that they won't be able to find their way back, and this will be very easy, for while they amuse themselves with tying up the bundles, we need only slip away while they're looking elsewhere."
"Oh, husband," cried the poor wife, "you can't, no, you can't consent to be the death of your own children."
The husband in vain told her to think of how poor they were. The wife replied that this was true, to be sure, but if she was poor, she was still their mother. And then she cried as if her heart would break. At last, she thought how shocking it would be to see them starved to death before their eyes. So, reluctantly, she agreed to what her husband had said, and then went sobbing to bed. Now Hop o' My Thumb had been awake all the time, and when he heard his father talk very seriously, he slipped away from his brother's side and crept under his father's bed to hear all that was said without being seen. When his father and mother had left off talking, he got back to his own place and passed the night in thinking what he should do the next morning. He rose early and ran to the river's side, where he filled his pockets with small white pebbles and then went back home. In the morning, they all set out, as their father and mother had agreed on, and Hop o' My Thumb did not say a word to any of his brothers about what he'd heard. They came to a forest that was so very thick that they could not see each other even a few yards off. The woodcutter set to work cutting down wood, and the children began to gather the twigs to make bundles of them. When the father and mother saw that the young ones were all very busy, they slipped away without being seen, and the children soon found themselves alone and began to cry as loud as they could. Hop o' My Thumb let them cry on, for he knew well enough how to lead them safe home. He had taken care to drop the white pebbles he had in his pocket all along the way they had come. He only said to them,
"Never mind it, my lads. Father and mother have left us here by ourselves, but only take care to follow me, and I will lead you back again."
When they heard this, They left off crying and followed Hop o' My Thumb, who soon brought them back to their father's house by the very same path which they had come along. At first, they didn't have the courage to go in, but stood at the door to hear what their parents were talking about. Just as the woodcutter and his wife had come home without their children, a great gentleman of the village had sent to pay them 2 guineas for work they'd done for him, which he'd owed them for so long that they never thought of getting a farthing of it. This money made them quite happy, for the poor creatures were very hungry and had no other way of getting anything to eat. The woodcutter sent his wife out immediately to buy some meat, and as it was a long time since she'd made a hearty meal, she bought as much as would have been enough for 6 or 8 persons. The truth was, when she was thinking what would be enough for dinner, she forgot that her children weren't at home. But as soon as she and her husband were done eating, she cried out, "Alas, where are our poor children? How they would feast on what we have left! Oh, this was all your fault, husband! I told you we should repent leaving them to starve in the forest! Oh, mercy! Perhaps they should have already been eaten by the hungry wolves!" The poor woman shed plenty of tears. "Alas! Alas!" said she over and over again. "What is become of my dear children?" The children, who were all at the door, cried out together, "Here we are, mother! Here we are!" She flew like lightning to let them in and kissed every one of them. The woodcutter and his wife were charmed at having their children once more with them, and their joy for this lasted till their money was all spent. But then they found themselves quite as ill off as before. So by degrees, they again thought of leaving them in the forest, and that the young ones might not come back a second time. They said they would take them a great deal farther than they did at first. They could not talk about this matter so slyly but that Hop o' My Thumb found means to hear all that passed between them, but he cared very little about it, for he thought it would be easy for him to do just the same as he'd done before. But though he got up very early the next morning to go to the river's side to get the pebbles, a thing which he had not thought of hindered him, for he found that the house door was double locked. Hop o' My Thumb was now quite at a loss of what to do. But soon after this, his mother gave each of the children a piece of bread for breakfast, and then it came into his head that he could take his share and make them do as well as the pebbles by dropping crumbs of it all the way as he went. So he did not eat his piece, but he put it instead into his pocket. It wasn't long before they all set out, and their parents took care to lead them into the very thickest and darkest part of the forest. They then slipped away by a bypath as before and left the children by themselves again. All this did not give Hop o' My Thumb any concern, for he thought himself quite sure of getting back by means of the crumbs that he'd dropped along the way. But when he came to look for them, he found that not a crumb was left. The birds had eaten them all up. The poor children were now sadly off, for the further they went, the harder it was for them to get out of the forest. At last, night came on, and the noise of the wind among the trees seemed to them like the howling of wolves, so that every moment they thought they should be eaten up, they hardly dared to speak a word or to move a limb for fear. Soon after, there came a heavy rain which wetted them to the very skin and made the ground so slippery that they fell down at almost every step and got dirty all over. Before it was quite dark, Hop o' My Thumb climbed to the top of a tree and looked around on all sides to see if he could find any way of getting help. He saw a small light, like that of a candle, but it was a great way off, beyond the forest. He then came down from the tree to try to find the way to it, but he could not see it when he was on the ground, and he was in the utmost trouble what to do next. They walked on towards the place where he had seen the light, and at last reached the end of the forest and got sight of it again. Now they walked faster, and after being much tired and vexed, for it was every time they got into lower ground that they lost sight of the light, they came to the house it was in. They knocked at the door, which was opened by a very good-natured-looking lady, who asked what had brought them here. Hop o' My Thumb told them that they were poor children, who had lost their way in the forest, and begged that she would give them a bed till morning. When the lady saw that they had such pretty faces, she began to shed tears and said, "Oh, my poor children, you don't know what place you're come to. This is the house of an ogre who eats up little boys and girls." "Alas, madam," replied Hop o' My Thumb, who trembled from head to foot, "what will we do? If we go back to the forest, we are sure of being torn to pieces by the wolves. We would rather, therefore, be eaten by the gentleman. Besides, when he sees us, perhaps he may take pity on us and spare our lives." The ogre's wife thought she could contrive to hide them from her husband till morning, so she let them go in and warm themselves by a good fire, before which there was a whole sheep roasting for the ogre's supper. When they had stood a short time by the fire, there came a loud knocking at the door. This was the ogre come home. His wife hurried the children under the bed and told them to lie still, and then she let her husband in. The ogre asked if supper was ready, and if the wine were fetched from the cellar, and then he sat down at the table. The sheep was not quite done, but he liked it much better half raw. In a minute or two, the ogre began to snuff to his left and his right, and he said he smelt children's flesh.
"It must be this calf which we've just killed," said his wife.
"I smell children's flesh, I tell thee once more," cried the ogre, looking all about the room. "I smell children's flesh. There's something going on that I don't know about."
As soon as he'd spoken these words, he rose from his chair and went towards the bed.
"Madam," said he, "you thought to cheat me, did you, wretch? Thou art old and tough thyself, or else I would eat thee up too. But come, come, this is lucky enough, for the brats will make a nice dish for three ogres, who are my particular friends, and who are to dine with me tomorrow."
He then drew them out one by one from under the bed. The poor children fell on their knees and begged his pardon as humbly as they could, but this ogre was the most cruel of all ogres. And instead of feeling any pity, he only began to think of how sweet and tender their flesh would be. So he told his wife they would be nice morsels if she served them up with plenty of sauce. He then fetched a large knife and began to sharpen it on a long whetstone that he held in his left hand. And all the while he came nearer and nearer to the bed. The ogre took up one of the children and was about to set to cutting him to pieces, but his wife said to him,
"What in the world makes you take the trouble of killing them tonight? Will it not be time enough tomorrow morning?"
"Hold your prating," replied the ogre. "They'll grow tender by being kept a little while after they're killed."
"But," said his wife, "you've got so much meat in the house already. Here's a calf and a sheep and half a pig."
"True," said the ogre. "So give them all a good supper, that they may not get lean, and then send them to bed."
The good creature was quite glad of this. She gave them plenty for their supper, but the children were so terrified that they couldn't even eat a bit of it. The ogre sat down to his wine, very much pleased with the thought of giving his friends such a dainty dish. This made him drink rather more than was common, and soon he was obliged to go to bed himself. Now the ogre had 7 daughters, who were all very young like Hop o' My Thumb and his brothers. These young ogresses had fair skins because they fed on raw meat like their father, but they had small gray eyes, quite round and sunk into their heads, hooked noses, wide mouths, and very long, sharp teeth standing a great way off each other. They were too young, as yet, to do much mischief, but they showed that if they lived to be as old as their father, they would grow quite as cruel as he was, for they took pleasure already in biting young children and sucking their blood. The ogresses had been put to bed very early that night. They were all in one bed, which was very large, and every one of them had a crown of gold on her head. There was another bed of the same size in the room, and in this the ogre's wife put the 7 little boys, and then she went to bed herself along with her husband. Now, Hop o' My Thumb was afraid that the ogre would wake in the middle of the night and kill him and his brothers while they were asleep. So he got out of bed in the middle of the night as softly as he could, took off all his brothers' nightcaps and his own, and crept with them to the bed that the ogre's daughters were in. He then took off their crowns and put the nightcaps onto their heads instead, and next he put the crowns on his brother's head and his own, and got into bed again, expecting that after this, if the ogre should come, he would take him and his brothers for his own children. Everything turned out as he wished. The ogre waked soon after midnight and began to be very sorry that he had put off killing the boys till morning, so he jumped out of the bed, took hold of his large knife.
"Let us see," said he, "what the young rogues are about, and do the business at once."
He then walked softly to the room where they all slept, and went up to the bed the boys were in, who were all asleep except for Hop o' My Thumb. He touched their heads one at a time, and feeling the crowns of gold, said to himself,
Oh, I had like to have made such a mistake. I must have had too much to drink last night.
He went next to the bed that his own little ogresses were in, and when he felt the nightcaps, he said,
"Ah, ha, ha, there you are, my lads."
And so in a moment, he cut the throats of all his daughters. He was very much pleased when he had done this, and went back to his own bed. As soon as Hop o' My Thumb heard him snore, he awoke his brothers and told them to put on their clothes quickly and follow him. They all stole softly into the garden, and then jumped from the wall into the road and ran as fast as their legs would carry them. But they were so much afraid all the while that they hardly knew which way to take. When the ogre waked in the morning, he said to his wife, grinning,
"My dear, go and dress the young rogues I saw last night."
The wife was quite surprised at hearing her husband speak so kindly, and did not dream of the real meaning of his words. She supposed he wanted her to help them put on their clothes. So when she went upstairs and the first thing she saw was her seven daughters with their throat cuts covered in blood, this threw her into a fainting fit. The ogre was afraid his wife might be too long in doing what he'd set her about, so he went himself to help her. But he was as much shocked as she had been at the dreadful sight of his bleeding children.
"Oh, what have I done?" he cried.
"But the little rascals will pay for it, I warrant them."
He first threw some water on his wife's face, and as soon as she came to herself, he said to her,
"Bring me quickly my 7-league boots that I might go and catch the little vipers."
The ogre then put on these boots and set out with all speed. He strided over many parts of the country and at last turned into the very road in which the poor children were hiding, for they had set off towards the woodcutter's cottage, which they'd almost reached. They watched the ogre stepping from mountain to mountain in one step and crossing rivers as if they'd been tiny brooks. At this, Hop o' My Thumb thought a little what was to be done, and spying a hollow place under a large rock, he made his brothers get into it. He then crept in himself, but kept his eye fixed on the ogre to see what he would do next. The ogre found himself quite weary with the journey he had gone, for 7-league boots are very tiresome to the person who wears them. So now he began to think of resting, and he happened to sit down on the very rock where the poor children were hid. As he was so tired, and it was a very hot day, he soon fell fast asleep, and began to snore so loud that the little fellows were terrified. When Hop o' My Thumb saw this, he said to his brothers,
"Courage, my lads, never fear. You have nothing to do but steal away and get home while the ogre's fast asleep, and then leave me to shift for myself."
The brothers, now, were very glad to do whatever he told them, and so they soon came to their father's house. In the meantime, Hop o' My Thumb went up to the ogre softly, pulled off his 7-league boots so gently, and put them on his own legs. For though the boots were very large, being fairy boots, they could make themselves small enough to fit any leg they pleased. As soon as Hop o' My Thumb had made sure of the ogre's 7-league boots, he went at once to the palace and offered his services to carry orders from the king to his army, which was a great way off, and to bring back the quickest accounts of the battle that they were just at that time fighting with the enemy. In short, he thought he could be of more use to the king than all his mail coaches, and so should make his fortune in this manner. He succeeded so well that in a short time he'd made enough money to keep himself, his father, his mother, and 6 brothers without the trouble of working for the rest of their lives. Having done this, he went back to his father's cottage, where all the family were delighted to see him again. As the great fame of his boots had been talked of at court in this time, the king sent for him, and indeed employed him very often in the greatest affairs of the state, so that he became one of the richest men in the kingdom. And now let us see what became of the wicked ogre. He slept so soundly that he never discovered the loss of his boots. But having an evil conscience and bad dreams, he fell in his sleep from the corner of the rock where Hop o' My Thumb and his brothers had left him, and he bruised himself so much from head to foot that he could not stir. So he was forced to stretch himself out at full length and to wait for someone to come and help him. Now, a good many woodcutters passed near the place where the ogre lay, and when they heard him groan, they went up to ask him what was the matter. But the ogre had eaten such a great number of children in his lifetime that he had grown so very big and fat that these men could not even have carried one of his legs. So they were forced to leave him there. At last, night came on, and then a large serpent came out of a wood just by and stung him so that he died in great pain. By and by, Hop o' My Thumb, who had become the king's first favorite, heard of the ogre's death, and the first thing he did was to tell his majesty all that the good-natured ogress had done to save the lives of himself and his brothers. The king was so much pleased at what he had heard that he asked Hop o' My Thumb if there was any favor he could bestow upon her. Hop o' My Thumb thanked the king, and desired that the ogress might have the noble title of Duchess of Draggletail given to her, which was no sooner asked than granted. The ogress then came to court and lived very happily for many years, enjoying the vast fortune she'd found in the ogre's chests. As for Hop o' My Thumb, he every day grew more witty and brave, till at last the king made him the greatest lord in the kingdom and set him over all his affairs. The end. Once again, this was Carrie reading Hop o' My Thumb by Dinah Maria Mulloch Craik in The Fairy Book, which was copyright by Harper and Brothers in 1922. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to listen along next time on Once Upon a Storytime.
You've been listening to Once Upon a Storytime, brought to you by AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episodes, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.